Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Have you ever gotten into an argument over whether a river is actually a river? Like, is it a river? Is it a stream? A creek? Or like, is this thing a lake? Is it a pond? Well, this question, how you define a body of water, has bothered the federal government for decades.
One of the ones that's been a big fight is ditches, right? There are different types of ditches because, like, what gets defined as a ditch? You know, I've seen a ditch that's just off of the Missouri River that is always full of water. Like, there's just no arguing that what happens in that ditch doesn't affect the Missouri River, right?
That's Politico's water reporter, Annie Snyder.
But then how do you go from that ditch to the ditches that, you know, the network of ditches that feed into that ditch?
So I think I kind of understand some of the points of contention.
That's producer Carlos Prieto. And just when he thinks he gets it.
Even the narrowest definition under the Clean Water Act would say that a lake is protected under it, correct?
That is a point of contention, right? Lakes and ponds. if a lake or a pond is not connected to the broader tributary network, then that's absolutely a point of contention. Okay. So how do you define lake versus pond? Farm ponds, you know, stock ponds on farms have been a major point of contention.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy, and today...
It would be great to go have a checklist, but that's the fact that you can't do that is the whole point.
Annie Snyder on the incoming, newest, but almost certainly not definitive, definition of the Clean Water Act. It's Friday, June 11th. Annie, on Wednesday, the Biden administration announced plans to formally repeal one of the highest-profile Trump-era environmental regulations. What was the move that they announced?
So the Biden administration announced that they are going to begin the process of formally repealing and then writing their own version of a rule defining which streams and wetlands are protected under the Clean Water Act. The Trump administration had done its own two-step process on this, repealing the Obama administration's rule and writing its own. And the rule that the Trump administration wrote was a very narrow definition, the narrowest scope for the Clean Water Act since the law was passed in 1972. It was strongly supported by industries ranging from housing developers to the oil and gas industry to the agricultural sector, but was staunchly opposed by environmental groups who said that it was not close to protective enough to achieve the goals of the Clean Water Act.
So for the last couple of decades, it's felt like we've ping-ponged between various definitions and have not yet been able to craft a standard that the Supreme Court likes. Is there any indication that the Biden EPA is going to be more successful with their approach?
Yeah. Can they craft some sort of agreement between the warring sides on this? You know, that's what Administrator Regan has said he wants to do. He wants to bring all the stakeholders to the table and craft a durable solution. I think that people who've been through these battles over the past few decades hear that. I think they hear it very skeptically. I think there's a lot of skepticism that these warring parties can be brought together. And so then if that's the case, if he's not able to craft a solution that has everybody's buy-in, it becomes a question of exactly what is written and what version of that makes it to the Supreme Court. At this point, the Supreme Court is far more conservative than it was the last time that this question came before them. And so I think the legal world expects that the Biden administration is going to be working within different constraints than the Obama administration was when it crafted its sweeping rule in 2015.
As we've said before, I think on the podcast, you have people kind of in their pretty firm camps here. You know, environmentalists want very strong protections under the Clean Water Act. Farmers, ranchers, home builders, very much on the other side. But Administrator Regan, throughout his confirmation process, actually picked up the support of a lot of agricultural groups. What has he said about the type of outreach that he's doing as he crafts this rule?
Yeah, so he is committed to doing a good deal of stakeholder outreach. That's really been the name of the game with the Biden administration so far, at least with the Biden EPA. They have, on several regulations, committed to doing stakeholder processes and outreach. And so I think that there is within the agricultural community a feeling that at least their concerns and their opinions are going to be heard with Administrator Regan. That's why a number of these groups backed his nomination. They knew that under the Biden administration, they were not likely to get somebody who they were going to agree with 100% on this, but that Regan was somebody who would at least hear them out. But, you know, if you talk to some of the more hopeful folks on both sides, sides, I think there is a feeling that there might be some wiggle room, particularly when it comes to the agricultural sector.
Do you think a compromise is possible, or is this going to ultimately prove futile for the Biden EPA?
You know, I think the politics of this issue are incredibly well entrenched, and I think it's going to be very hard for the Biden administration to craft something that doesn't get challenged from any direction. I mean, case in point, the Trump administration's rule was extremely narrow, you know, extremely alarming to a lot of environmental groups, but it still got challenged from the right by a property rights activists group that saw it as too expansive even. And, you know, I think as much as the sides are entrenched, there are people on both sides that seem to want to find a compromise. There are potentially things that could be done with respect to agriculture that could sort of make it a less bitter pill to swallow for them. Whether that gets them, gets the Biden administration to a place where this isn't a politically combustible issue, I think is an open question. But they're, you know, even people who've been around on this issue for a long time think that there might be an opportunity.
And just from a timing perspective, I assume this is going to be a multi-year slog to craft this rule. But is that right?
Well, so there's going to be two steps here. There's the repeal of the Trump rule, and then there is the new definition that the Biden administration will issue. That second step is going to be the really complicated and long one. And yeah, it's hard to see how that can be done in fewer than a few years. The repeal rule, you know, they haven't said how quickly they're going to do it, but we can only expect that they will do it pretty quickly. They've already alerted one court to the fact that they are trying to get this rule back. And presumably that will be something that they'll move sooner rather than later.
Also, the Trump administration lifted methane pollution limits on new oil and gas industry sources. And yesterday, the House took its first step to nullify that. In a majority vote, the House Energy and Commerce Committee voted along party lines to use the Congressional Review Act to undo Trump's 2020 rule. The vote on Thursday puts the nullification only one step away, after the Senate already voted on this resolution last April, meaning the only thing left to do is a full House vote. And ahead of the full vote a couple weeks from now, already the EPA is working on a separate but related rule to expand the methane limits to existing oil and gas infrastructure, including millions of leaky wells and gathering lines across the U.S. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Playbook Deep Dive. On today's show, Playbook author Rachel Bade talks to Melanie Warner about how a geophysicist from a small town in Colorado ended up joining the thousands who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, and how political radicalization is flying under the radar across the U.S. And have you met the newest member of our team, Raghu Manavalan? He's the new host of the Playbook Audio Briefing, and he's coming to you every morning for your daily fix on the Biden administration, Congress, and power in 2021. In 5 minutes, he'll get you up to speed with what's really going on in Washington. Subscribe to Politico's Playbook Audio Briefing, the unofficial guide to official Washington. Carlos Prieto is our producer. Our senior producer is Jenny Ahmed. Irene Noguchi is Politico Audio's executive producer. Our editors are Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Chevron is lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations, exploring renewable fuels of the future, and investing in low-carbon technologies. Because it's only human to protect the home we share. Learn more at chevron.com/lowercarbon.